This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the Backliners podcast. Agro joined by Barracuda, as per usual. We missed you guys last week, but I knew that midseason patch notes was going to come out. I knew we'd have plenty to talk about this week. Barra, first of all, I know you've been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender for the first time because you're trying to join in on the hype. You haven't seen the show before. No. Give me your thoughts, because I just rewatched it.
Okay, so I'm seven episodes in, and well, beginning of episode seven, and I didn't think it was. I'm gonna have to word this carefully.
Yeah, you're on thin ice here, mister.
Very cartoony and feels very TVY7.
Mm-hmm. It is both of those. It is literally both of those things. So
then that's why it feels that way.
It does feel that way.
Going into it, I was expecting more anime-y, and it's very cartoony. But if I'm in the mood for it, I actually like it a lot.
It's a good chill show.
Yeah. I think I'm getting into like the main story. I've gotten past like, I guess, the character building or whatever you want to call it.
Here's the thing, Vera. The character building never stops. The characters continue to evolve. It's what makes the show great. You are at the worst part of the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
So it's like it is very much worth it. It is very not anime. It's very like Western. For sure.
It's very Scooby-Doo-y.
Very Scooby-Doo-y, but...
I didn't think you were going to agree with it.
No, I agree. I do. It's definitely not super anime-like, but it's great. Joe, my fiance, who hates anime, enjoyed Avatar. We just finished season one of Korra. I've never seen Korra before. Season one was good. I've heard it goes downhill after that, but that's all right.
After season one of Korra?
Yeah, after season one of Korra, I heard it gets worse. But
yeah, people told me to go ahead and watch both, that I would enjoy both, but everyone was like, The Last Airbender is just so much better.
Yeah, I like the Last Airbender more so far, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm probably just not going to watch Korra,
okay.
Honestly.
Season one, it's cool. It's got some really cool ideas. Well, I'll talk to you about it later. It's not going to be a whole Avatar podcast, because we have a lot to get to today. We got to go through we're not going to go through literally every single midseason change, but I'm going to try. I want to go over the Hunter stuff in depth because I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, and just kind of the zoomed out view of some other things. Also in chat, I have not decided or prepped on what random question we're going to have at the very end that we normally like to do. So start thinking about what did we do last time? Our favorite snacks of some kind, or ice cream? No, we did ice cream.
It was ice cream.
Yeah, and then we both got ice cream.
It was not good. We got sick.
Yeah, you got a little bit unlucky, huh? No more steak and shake for you guys.
That was so bad. I got, just real quick, I paid like $5.50 for a chicken finger plate. I was really excited. I got three chicken fingers that were the length of my like middle finger, I would say. Okay. Which is, I have tiny fingers, short fingers, and I got three of them.
Really? You're a small hand gang too? I feel like I've got kind of small hands for how tall I am.
How do you know if you have small hands?
I don't know, they just don't look that big, you know.
Mine are definitely small-ish. Like, I cannot palm a basketball easily.
I can't palm a basketball at all.
I probably, yeah.
We'll compare hand sizes eventually.
Okay. The pandemic is over. Next time you come over, we'll just hold hands for a little bit. It's
my dream come true. Okay. So let's start with the physical penetration changes.
Okay.
Before we go into, I've got the patch notes in front of me. In fact, I will put them in the chat for everyone who's watching live at twitch.tv/predictionesports. If you are listening, you can find these on the smitegame.com website or on the Smite subreddit. There's a pinned post there. Overall, what were your general reactions to the physical penetration idea? If you're uninformed, basically what we did at the beginning of the season with magical penetration, where we tried to make it less of a, I bought one item and now I've got all the pen I need. That was Obsidian Shard. Now physical has gone through the same thing, but it's a little bit of a bigger task because 2 to 3 different classes use the physical penetration trees, whereas only one was really using the magical before. So it required a much bigger scale of change. So what were your first reactions?
When I was watching on stream, I was freaking out in a bad way, because the first two things they showed on stream were Titan's Bane and Executioner.
That's right. Get them out.
And I was like, what are they doing? I can't kill tanks anymore. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. And then as it went on, I was like, I like it. That's interesting. I played a few games of PTS. I just played them. And I felt like I was doing more damage than before. Rogue gave me like a cooldown crit build with Atlantis Bow and like Malice and Fail Not, and it felt great. I was just zooming around with Atlantis and Wind Demon and killing everyone.
I've been seeing Ro give feedback in the pro Discord. Ro seems like, can I just say that Ro sounds like the perfect coach? Like, I feel like he's doing all this math stuff behind the scenes. I've talked to him about the game before. I think he's got a really good mind for picks and bans and that kind of stuff. That's just a Ro appreciation moment from me. But
he's awesome. Best coach I've ever had.
I think that the idea there, do you agree that your power curve felt smoother? It wasn't like, oh, I can't kill tanks. Oh, I can't kill tanks. I sold Boots, bought Titans, and now they're literal paper to me. Does it feel smoother now? Is that what you think you were feeling?
Yeah, so I was going Devo's Boots at Atlantis Bow, and Atlantis has 20% pin on it now. And then I think I went Fail Not after that, so I had 30. Just kind of, I wouldn't say like easy penetration, but I definitely felt it when I was casting abilities on tanks in the beginning of fights. Because before, I would Artemis 3 a tank and I'd be like, 150.
Yep.
Nice. That felt good. Let me do that again. And the numbers weren't like dramatically higher, but they were high enough to make me feel good about casting that ability.
Sure.
And before, you had to think a lot in fights. And I think ADC got easier because I'm not thinking about who I've applied Executioner to yet. And I'm not playing around that with like my abilities and who I'm focusing in fights. I think you can get Executioner still, but I think it's mainly for objectives. And if you really need to burn a tank, kind of like before we built XE Titans, if you really have to kill their frontline, I think it's the same thing now where you just get your percent pin throughout your build. And if you need Executioner, I think you get it later as opposed to earlier, because I think early XE, I think it's just kind of bad now.
Really? I'm kind of surprised because it went down in cost. We'll start with the Executioner. So let me read the changes real quick. The cost of XE went down from 2350 to 2200 gold, so it's 150 gold cheaper. The physical power went up from 30 to 35, so a 5 power buff, but it lost some passive shred. Decreased passive shred from 12% per stack to 7% per stack. And that's the big deal, because you were getting 24% pen on 2 autos before, and now you're getting 21% on 3, which is a big deal. But I feel like early, it should feel better early or than it did, right?
Don't think the cheap cost warrants it being bought in that slot.
Okay.
You might build it if you're trying to burn objectives and you have like your physical assassin is an auto attacker, or you think you're going to be needing your assassin and you to be hitting the same targets early game, or not early game, but like mid, I guess, whenever you buy your third item. I think Atalanta is just a better item to get in that slot.
Atalanta seems nuts.
That it's so much fun, dude. You get a kill and you are just zoomer moding through the team fights. And then I had Atalanta and Wind Demon, and the amount of like mobility you get. I was playing Artemis as well, so Artemis 2. My Artemis 2 was always up, and I was just zoomer moding through every team fight. But I feel like, back to your point, I feel like Atalanta's just, you're missing out on 1% pin there. And I think for 250 more gold, I think Atalanta's is 2450. I think it's just better to get Atalanta's there.
Yeah.
You don't have to apply it like you do with Executioner. And I feel like the passive on Atalanta's is just amazing. You can just hyper carry a team fight if you get that going. And I think it's just by far just better.
Well, we'll get into Atalanta's in just a second. I do want to touch on Titan's Bane just to keep it in order on the patch notes. I don't have to jump all over the place. The changes to Titan's Bane increase the cost from 2300 to 2550. So an extra 250 gold there. Increase the power from 30 to 40. Added 20% physical penetration. So because the passive changes, it was weird. The passive was the pen, not actually on the item. And the new passive, your first ability cast gains 20% physical penetration. This can occur only once every 10 seconds. So it's very similar to Obsidian Shard. That passive will allow you to overcap on those abilities. Do you think my first reaction is this item goes from hunters and assassins buying it to only assassins buying it and only against certain types of compositions. But against those compositions, I still think this item is really, really good. Being able to get above the cap and getting 40% pen on something like, I don't know, a Nemesis ult that's going to like hit a tank right away seems pretty strong to me.
I think it's only going to be bought in very small cases into a very limited amount of comps, where your main objective is just killing frontline. I think for an assassin, fitting the item in your build is kind of rough because you don't want to get it in. In my opinion, I don't think you want to get that in your third or fourth slot because it's normally like your power, your flat pin, and your cooldown. And like Erudite, Heartseeker, Jones, like all those are just better items, I think.
Yeah.
I think you're getting it like fifth or sixth, or maybe I would say like seventh if you're selling boots. And if you really cannot get to their backline, I think that, I don't know, I just feel like there's better items.
Yeah.
I think that item's really hard to fit in your build. And like you said, I don't think it's a hunter item at all. I don't think I'll ever be buying it. I'm just trying to think like into like a triple frontline comp where you can't get to their backline. I think Nemesis is a good example, like you said. But I don't know what other gods can actually utilize that to... Like, what assassin wants to play towards frontline, you know?
Yeah, maybe something like Thor, where you feel like you can, like, wall their frontline off and then kill them. But I agree. I think it's going to be pretty hard to utilize. We'll see where Titan's Bane ends up. I think a lot of people thought the same about Obsidian Shard, and that's now bought every game again. So
very true. Very true.
We will see. Okay, Atalanta's. I think this is the item that you should be playing with the most when you get your hands on this. Because unless something changes, this item is... It's real good. So you basically take the old Atalanta's and you take off the 10% movement speed and you add 20% pen. That seems pretty good, though losing the movement speed certainly hurts. But the new passive is if you receive a kill or assist on an enemy god, you gain Atalanta's agility for 10 seconds. This effect increases your attack speed by 20% and decreases the movement penalty for attacking, backpedaling, and strafing by 50%. So you don't have true hastened, but it feels really, really, really good. And it makes you really hard to hit while you're still putting out a lot of damage. Do you think there's any, I don't know. I'm just looking at these stats. I'm looking at the way the item works. I can envision a world where Atalanta's is not a part of every single hunter build when it comes out of PTS.
I think it's at least 99%, if not 100. That item, I feel like it just does so many things for ability-based hunters and auto-attack hunters and hyper-carry-esque hunters. Like, if I'm Chernobog and I'm ulting into a fight, that item's sick. If I'm Artemis playing towards their front line, that item's sick. Like, it works in so many different ways, and it's relatively cheap, and I think it just fits in. Like you said, like you should just be buying this item third or fourth, in my opinion, basically every game.
Dude, X-Ball with this item in lane, like your boys are ganking solo, and then you get the gas pedal to kill your ADC.
I didn't think about that. That's actually insane.
Yeah, that's going to be nuts. It's just like, that is such an insane power spike. For 10 seconds, which is a long period of time in Smite, 20% attack speed and a huge movement speed increase. And it's not even just movement speed. It's the fact that you aren't as slow when you're basic attacking and strafing and backpedaling. I don't know. This item, this item's nuts. It's absolutely crazy. All right, Rage got a small nerf on PTS, goes up 100 gold. I imagine this doesn't really affect Rage's standing at all.
I think that is just a slap on the wrist, and the times you're buying Rage before, you're still going to be buying Rage.
Makes sense to me. Best item in the game when you if you want to be critting, because it gives you like 55% crit forehead. Silver Branch.
100, like.
Yeah, come on now. Silver Branch bow. This item got some changes as well. It got added 10% physical penetration, removed the 10 flat pen, and increased the physical power gained from passive from 1.5 to 2 per stack. I think this does put this item in a position where it can actually be bought on certain gods. Still not sure on like the Apollo strat of not building a whole lot of attack speed and then getting Silver Branch just like slam during your passive. Mm-hmm. I think that you do want to buy this when you're at like basically cap, and then you've got an attack speed steroid that's going to take you way over cap and turn it into a super steroid. Have you experimented with this item at all? Do you feel like it has a place?
I was playing with the builds a little bit in jungle practice, but it's really hard to tell how good a build actually is outside of that. I mean, this item before, the math guys tonight were saying that this item is like that Apollo build or whatever.
Yeah.
We built full attack speed, all the bows. They were saying it was really good. And then I play tested it a few times. I was like, this feels terrible. So I would need the math guys to come together again and like really convince me that this is better than crit builds. And like, or you can build it with crit builds. I don't know. Like maybe you go with Wind Demon and just a lot of attack speed. Yeah. I don't know.
Poison Star still has some attack speed, though. That got nerfed. I don't know. I feel like, in theory, it should be really good.
Exactly.
But it's just not. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just not that good. Okay, 8-pointed Shuriken. This is the Wind Demon tree. Just the tier 2 lost attack speed, reduced from 10% to 7%. That's because I believe both items got hit on there. No, Wind Demon say the same. Poison Star lost some attack speed, but that's to give it some room to grow into Poison Star. But there is a new Shuriken. It's called Shadow Steel Shuriken. It's purple now. It's 2,500 gold. It has 20 physical power, 10% attack speed, and 20% crit chance. And its passive is enemies hit by your critical strikes have 40% reduced healing and regeneration for 8 seconds. Do you think that you'll be buying this in crit builds against hunters or against healers? Because if it's not being bought there, I don't think it's being bought at all.
I think if they had, I would say like 4 soft heals, or probably 3 soft heals and a big boy heal, I would think about buying that. Like it was like a hell with like a Hercules Camazotz, I don't know, some other healing.
Bro,
like
if you're not buying it against Kama Herc Hell comp, what's the point?
Right, man, that was a bad example.
Yeah, what? I thought you were gonna be like, if they've got, I don't know, like a Glad Shield on the other team or something like that. Like, well, old Glad Shield that got changed.
Yeah.
But if you're not considering buying against all that, then this item doesn't deserve to exist, right?
I mean, that's honestly where at the point I'm at. I would not want to buy this item unless we were desperately in need of anti. I would just be like, Last, can you get a Brawlers? Vin, can you get a Divine? You know, I don't really want to sack damage in my build. So if you guys could do that for me, that'd be great.
I'm just surprised at how little physical power it has. I feel like its stats are really what hold it back. Not necessarily the passive. 20 power, 10% attack speed is really
terrible.
Is really low. It's really low, and it's the 2,500 gold. If this were like, you know, 10%, yeah. If it were 10% crit chance and 2,000 gold, that would make sense to me. But yeah, I think the stats are just too low to justify buying this item. Maybe if your mid laner's like Giannis or someone who really doesn't want to buy Divine Ruin that just like does not apply it well at all, I can see this as like a sixth item, but I'm not loving it necessarily.
It's just hard because, in my opinion, you would need it with like a Rage build. And if you're going Devo's Boots, Rage, Xe, and then this item, that's a weird curve.
Yeah.
And with the Xe nerf, you're not doing that much damage. And like, it's an RNG passive unless you have like Rage and
Rage.
I would say three crit items basically. And one of those being Rage.
It's 20%, right? So if you have Rage plus this, it's 75%. That's still pretty good odds.
It's hard to. For some reason in my head it's hard to justify buying this over current Toxic Blade. I don't know why, but my brain is just like, Toxic Blade, very good item against healers. Like, I don't want to get Brawlers, obviously. This item I don't want to get unless I have, like you said, 75% crit at least.
Yeah, Toxic Blade having more attack speed, I want to say, and movement speed and flat pen just kind of makes it better, I think. But maybe not. I don't know.
Those are just bad stats, bro.
Yeah, the stats are just bad. I think that if the stats got buffed, it would have a place. But if it basically just like matched Wind Demon or Poison Star stats without their passives and just had that passive instead, I think that it's pretty easy to switch one of those out for Shadow Steel Shuriken when you need it. But as it stands, don't think you're going to see much play. Okay, Poison Star got a nerf. Decrease the attack speed from 15% to 10%, but increase the physical power from 30 to 35. I do think that that is a net nerf, but not a massive one. I imagine in crit builds, you're still building Poison Star the vast majority of the time.
And I think with Steroid Hunters, you won't feel this. Like, if you're building Poison Star on Rama and Artemis and Chernabog, I think it still fits. I think on non-steroid hunters, I think it would just feel really bad to lose that 5%.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Wind Demon, it also got some changes. These are also straight nerfs, although actually a pretty big change towards the passive that I forgot about. Yes, decrease the crit chance from 20% to 15%. Decrease the physical power from 30 to 25. But now the passive now provides 10% physical penetration in addition to the attack speed and movement speed. So once you crit, you will then get pen moving forward. This item is now, it was already in 100% of Hunter builds because every Hunter was building crit. If crit is good, Wind Demon will be in every build because that pen is just too important, I think.
Yeah, the build that I went had Atalanta's Wind Demon and Fail Not, so I was at 40%. And you have a ton of cooldown and a ton of penetration. And you're Zoomer Boy. And Zoomer Boy on ADCs feels so great. And you were just flying around the team fights.
You getting season one vibes, upgraded Sprint 3?
So much fun. I feel like this was an overall buff for Hunters in terms of quality of life, like mentally, how we feel going into the games. And in team fights, it just feels great. Like the 10% pin, like with the crit builds, once you get the Wind Demon passive, in my opinion, you're keeping it throughout the entire team fight. Like, unless your RNG is really bad, but most of the time, you get that passive going and you get the passive the whole fight.
It's kind of like anti-Titan's Bane. Your first thing doesn't do as much, but then everything after that will do more, which is the opposite of Titans.
There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all the UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's word BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
All right, next up is Soul Eater. This got some changes. Decreased cost from 2,300 to 2,100, so now pretty cheap. Did lose 10 power from 40 to 30. Removed the 200 mana, but added 10% physical penetration and now provides 5% ability lifesteal even before stacks are completed and the item evolves. I don't think this is a hunter item by any stretch, though 2,100 gold is really cheap, so I could see it maybe sneaking its way in as the, if you're an ability hunter like Chiron or Medusa, that could actually make leverage the ability lifesteal. But do you think that this item could now see play in the jungle or in solo lane or something like that?
In solo, maybe, because of, I think, the overall meta over there might shift towards assassins and more aggressive warriors on the glad shields out. For assassins, I don't think so. I think the stats aren't assassin-y. I feel like they're not playing towards ability lifesteal. Maybe this is like a Pele bridge item, third or fourth.
Yeah.
Most likely not. The 10% pin for assassins, I mean, it'd be like a nice curve upwards if you're looking to gank solo lane a lot. But if you're looking to kill backline, probably not. I just feel like the Pintree, Erendite, Heartseeker, all those are like too good not to get in your build. And I feel like if you go those items, it's really hard to fit Soliter in there. I feel like it's just a weird curve for when you're getting
so
this item.
It's so cheap. Like 2,100 gold is so cheap.
For 30 power, that just feels so bad.
It does evolve to 40 whenever you evolve.
Oh,
but all right.
Yeah. 75 minions later. Yeah.
Hey, in lane, it's both sides. You know, you're stacking that pretty quickly at the very least. Dude, I remember, God, what season was it when Pon Pon pitched an item that would give you ability lifesteal for physicals, and we were all like, bro, Thor is gonna be spinning in the middle of a team fight, they're gonna full heal, it's gonna be so OP. Never bought ever. It's been impossible to make this item attractive, it feels like.
I think give it ban cross passive and people will buy it.
It's interesting,
but right now I was again doing it in jungle practice trying to fit this out of my build, and every time it just feels so bad for 40 power. Like, the 10% pin is nice, but I feel like there's other items you can just go that are just better. I feel like the ability lifesteal in its current form is cute.
Yeah.
But not good enough to warrant purchasing.
Like, Thunderclouds in chat says King Arthur is going to rush this instead of Glad Shield and solo. It's worth testing. That's interesting.
Yeah, I feel
not having any physical defense it makes a huge difference, especially with the changes from Warrior's Blessing as well to reduce losing that flat reduction. That makes him so much harder to play the early lane because you're getting minion aggro all the time. And so to go straight into another item that doesn't have any defense is going to be tough, but the boy will be healing a lot because you're rolling buttons all the time. So it's interesting.
I feel like it's also a good pub stomp item.
It's like, just fun, man.
Trolling. Yeah.
Fun item.
But I don't think junglers will ever buy it. Solo laners, it'll be a cute ranked item, I think.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to do a lot of testing with this item, because before, I always am a solo laner fan. I keep trying to make this item work, and every time I buy it, I'm like, why? Why do I keep trying to do this, man?
You're just trying to go back to the days where Soul Eater had defense and gave you the burst heal whenever you fell too low.
That was awesome.
The tanky hunter meta. Puke, by the way. Cheerio in chat says Nika has been rushing it in lane versus Guardians. I can see that, where you're not as worried about taking so much damage, so you can go something that doesn't have defense early. I'll bet you it scales really well. Like, if you rotate and the enemy mid laner doesn't have Divine and the jungler doesn't have Beatstick, I'll bet you can 1v3 with this item for sure, having solo lane farm. So I like that idea.
It's kind of the same idea as old Guardians going like Pythags in solo, I guess.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep, I can see it. All right, Heartseeker getting a change as well. Decrease the cost from 3,100 to 2,900. So 200 gold cheaper on the best assassin item in the game. removed 10 physical penetration and added 10% physical penetration. So it loses 10 flat pen, gains 10% pen. It's got to be a net buff, right? Like 10 flat pen, I know I'm the one that preaches all the time that flat pen is broken and that everyone undervalues it, and it's worth like 2x on damage and that kind of stuff. It's so worth it. But the 200 gold difference on this item makes a lot of difference, I feel like. And getting it to scale better into the late game with 10% against frontliners makes it even better.
I'm just thinking, why?
I think they were concerned about assassins being like, oh, I lost Titan's Bane. But here's the thing.
That's like, well, I'm just talking about like the cost reduction.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing, man. I don't know. This item's B-Roke, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Oh, Cheria brings up a good idea. They buffed Heart's Eater, make sure that Arachne, Baka, Kali don't dominate the meta. There are a lot of items that help those characters out for sure. So this does, I mean, I guess there is some reason to incentivize you to play more ability assassins than auto attackers. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. This item is still going to be bought every game on Ability Assassins, as it should be, because that's what... Heartseeker, I hate it as a backliner. I'm sure you hate it as well, Bera. It is a necessary evil in the game, because if you recall, before Heartseeker, if you played something like Thor or even Thanatos, you had to build Bruiser, you had to build Tank, because you just didn't scale well enough into late. And I think that the overall... idea of smite game is healthiest when assassins can one-shot backliners and I can one-shot them in return. I think that's what's the most fun to play, watch, and is just the best game. So I'm okay with
it. Yeah, not fun to play, but I'll jump on board the ship.
All right, cool. Thanks, Bear. All right. Fail not, only change, added 10% physical penetration. You said you have been building this and liking it quite a bit, because I was thinking that in the crit meta, like when Chernabog was meta and that kind of stuff, I was surprised that Fail Not wasn't being bought. I felt like it was still good.
It's basically, me and Ro have talked about this a lot. I think every crit item right now is really good except for the anti-heal one. I think all the items are just so sick. I think for steroid hunters, this item is just so good.
Yeah.
You get so many stats, and it's just a flat buff. They just gave you 10% pin for free. And people stopped buying it when they nerfed it, I think, by 5% crit chance, I think.
Like that, yeah.
And I still try to make it work. And with the 10 pin, I think with... like I said, steroid hunters and ability-based hunters sometimes, I think you get a lot of value out of Fail Not.
Yeah, this item's good. It's just like such a sick stat stick. And then the passive is good as well. For not so much for your guardian to be critting people, but to maybe lets you... maybe on a steroid hunter, because you are going to get so much crit chance from Fail Not after you ult, you can go something like Silver Branch instead and try and get more pen that way and a whole bunch of power from using your steroid instead of having to build... Poison Star or something like that. Though Poison Star passive is pretty nuts, so maybe you should keep building it. All right, Masamune, removed from the game, F in the chat. Its similar stats can be found in a new item in the Hammer Tree called The Sledge, and we'll get to The Sledge in a little bit, but it has been replaced by Serrated Edge. It's 2,400 gold, 40 physical power, 10% lifesteal, 10% movement speed, 20% physical penetration. And the passive is, if all three of your non-ultimate abilities are on cooldown, gain 40 basic attack power and 10% lifesteal. Arachne, the item. Arachne loves this item, and that's the only character I could see building it every single game.
Yeah, I think it's really awkward to play around this passive in a team fight, because I feel like you're going to bait yourself into pressing all of your buttons.
Yeah.
You might hit all your buttons, but they're probably poorly timed given the team fight. I think it's just an odd item to buy. I agree. Cherry said it shouldn't be 20% pin. I think that's just an awkward stat, because on assassins, you're not really looking to maximize your penetration. Maybe. I mean, I think this is kind of awkward in the same way that Titan's Bane is awkward, where it just kind of makes you want to kill tanks. And I think the passive is really hard to use. I think there's a few cute scenarios, like you said with Arachne, where you can just all in and get the passive. But outside of that, like if you built it on Kali, it's really good if you're leading with jump, obviously, and stunning and twoing. But a lot of times you're not doing that. And I don't think you're doing that. Same thing for Baca. If you're leading with jump to gank, that's weird. And I don't even know what other gods would utilize that.
Yeah, but the basic it being only basic attack power is really important, yeah. Because like Thor would be nuts if this was just you gain power because you could like do the combo off of your dunk in one shot. Mm-hmm. But because it's only basic attack power, he doesn't really want it. Baca should ideally be jumping in because of the passive. Well, it's not the passive. It's the effect mm-hmm. on his jump, which is like a mini sunder, but that's just not realistic a lot of times. I wonder if it's like, dude, you know what would make this item broken? If instead of your non-ultimate abilities being on cooldown, if you had just used a relic, like after a little bit after using a relic, you got the buff, because that would let you blink and use it. That'd be crazy, man. That'd be crazy. Also, I don't know. The stats are good enough that maybe even if you don't leverage the ability, the passive all the time, it might be worth buying anyways.
It does have movement speed on it, which all movement speed items are, in my opinion, inherently broken.
Yep. Well, so, you have Atalantis, so you don't get to complain anymore.
Dude, my items are so good. It's awesome.
All right, clip it. We've got it right there. We're taking it to the balance team, and we're nerfing it all. We got it. We got it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's fine. I had my fun on my two PTS games.
All right, perfect. Twinkie asks in chat, does it work on Erlong while his one is active? I think Erlong 1 doesn't go on cooldown until after its effect is over, I want to say. So it wouldn't be ideal on Erlong. But that's a good idea of a character for it.
But I'm pretty sure they were wrong. Pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't go on cooldown. Because then the CD gets reduced for each auto attack you land. So I can't imagine it'd be
CD permanently up.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a perfect character for it if it did work the other way. Okay, now we're getting into some of the warrior items, so this is a little bit more speculation and less expertise, at least by the ADC brain over here. Gladiator Shield, sorry. Gladiator Shield, now a tier 3 item, no longer a tier 2. The old Glad Shield of Sustain is gone. It's 2,500 gold, 25 physical power, 200 HP, 40 physical prot, and 10% CDR with the passive. Any enemy god who is under 50% health takes bonus damage from your abilities equal to 15 plus 2 per level bonus physical damage. Triggers only once per enemy per ability. I haven't seen a whole lot of people experimenting with this quite yet. It does feel like it's in a kind of weird spot, but I can see it being okay. The stats are kind of not that great. I don't know.
I think it's a hard item to defend the builds.
Yeah, I think agree.
If the CDR was a little bit higher, it would be, I guess it can't be 15. 15, like 5% is just awkward to put on.
Yeah, you can't
put,
it's only 10 or 20.
Yeah, I don't know. From my giant ADC brain,
right.
I think this is a very awkward item to build. Because if the passive was like maybe 75% health, I would see more value, but I think it's just a weird item to build and to find a spot for like what you want to do with this item.
Yeah. Cherry saying in chat, why would you ever build it over Glad Shield? Over Void Shield. I think he's kind of on the right track. That's definitely the slot it's competing in. Maybe on someone like Cucullin, who you feel like you can, you know, you've got more buttons to press that you can leverage more passive procs, maybe. But I agree, it's kind of in the middle of the road. It's not bad, but I don't think it's good enough right now. And for the record, I'm down with all that, because we've seen Gladiator Shield be so good for so long. It is okay for this item to be bad. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Okay, Berserker Shield. This is actually getting back into the Hunter realm, because I've seen a lot of Hunter players playing with this. Now, also a tier 3 item, builds off of Tower Shield, just like Gladiator Shield. It's 2,500 gold, 40 physical power, 30 physical protection, 20% attack speed, 10% physical penetration. And the passive is, if you drop below 40% HP, you become Berserk. Berserk provides 20 physical power and 20% attack speed, lasts for 5 seconds, and refreshes on if healed and then re-damaged. Have you tried this at all? I know I've seen a lot of people going at third item.
I haven't tried it yet, but it's a very fun item to think about. I think this is a more... I think it's just a better version of Serrated Edge.
Sure. Because it has some protection, right?
Yeah, and I feel like you're always getting value out of the passive. Well, probably like 75% of the time getting value out of the passive. Probably the other 25% you're running away. But this just has a lot of good anti-dive on it that hunters desire. And like the 30 physical prots is going to help you a lot versus warriors and assassins. The attack speed's nice, physical pin's nice, the power's pretty high. It's 40 power.
And then you get up to 60 when you go down.
Yeah, and I just think this item is insane.
Yeah, you get up to 40% attack speed. There's probably a world where you want to build... I wonder if there's a world where you start like tower shield, you start round shield, finish your boots, finish berserkers, and then go Aussie. And then it's just like, if you ever get low, you become this impossible to kill power attack speed lifesteal machine. I think that this is really good potentially for hunters. For warriors, I can see it again. Like, I think that Mystical might come back in the meta because Mystical kind of was in favor, then dropped off. I could see Mystical being more popular now. Do I want this instead of Mystical Mail? Maybe on something like Osiris, but I don't know. It feels kind of awkward for Warrior still.
I think this is a decent item for diving into a double physical backline as an assassin or as an auto attack assassin.
Yeah, like Arachne loves this, right?
Yeah, Arachne, I feel like...
Feels like a trend.
Maybe Baka, but probably not Baka. Maybe Mercury, but probably not. I feel like there's just probably better items there.
Yeah.
But and then on Warriors, it's like, in my opinion, it's just another cute item where, like, Bellona can use this in lane. Probably Kukulon can use this in lane. Maybe there's, like, an Amaterasu full attack speed build that can maybe utilize this in lane.
Yeah.
But... I think it's just a cute item for warriors, and I feel like this is just a good anti-dive item for hunters.
I just don't feel like the protections are enough to be a frontline item. Only 30 prots and no health. Mm-hmm. That's tough. I don't think that you can really justify a zero health, 30 prot item. It's 2,500 gold as a frontliner. As a backliner, you definitely can.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's some health. The Sledge. It's now in the Hammer Tree. 2,300 gold, 40 physical power, 300 health, 150 mana, and 20% crowd control reduction. For each enemy within 55 units, you gain 10 magical and physical protection, stacking up to 3 times. This item's nuts. It is absolutely nuts. You're going to be seeing this a lot on warriors, potentially on assassins. Yeah, this item's just good.
I would think about buying this as a hunter if I was into a heavy dive, heavy crowd control frontline, but most of the time, not. Like,
yeah,
it'd probably be a cute item for hunters. Like,
Berserkers is better for you, right? Because of the attack speed. Exactly.
Yep.
But if you're playing something weird, maybe Sledge. Yeah, Sledge just seems good, man. It turns out cheap HP is really good.
I hate items like this.
Dude, do you remember how busted Blackthorn had to get before people started buying it? That item, that might have been the best item ever in Smite. Like, legitimately. The best form of Blackthorn Hammer. Absolutely like insane.
450 health, right? For
yes.
2K?
Something like that. Like,
yep.
450 health for, like, 2,100 or 2K. Like, kill me. I hate
it. It's just... Like... It just fulfills so many things you need in those builds.
Yep.
I think maybe you can fit this into like a Ravana build, maybe like a Thor build somewhere if you like want to be that tanky assassin. But with how with how strong damage assassin items are, this might just be a warrior only bridge item.
Yeah, we'll Erudite is kind of like it's kind of taken the slot that was reserved for this like third item. Power and HP hybrid. Like, Erudite is just so nuts on, like, Raven that I feel like that competes with Sledge. But against certain comps, maybe Sledge is better. I don't know.
I think the CCR is definitely something to think about.
Yes, dude, CCR is broken, and no casuals talk about it ever. CCR is so good against heavy CC comps. Overall, this just leads me back to the road of Spirit Robe is the best item in the game, and that's all I'm saying, because that item is insane. Okay, now we move on to Assassin's Blessing. Increase the health from 50 to 100. Now provides 7 physical and magical power, and increased the healing from jungle monsters from 7% to 8%, decreased bonus damage done to jungle monsters from 40% to 30%. Some changes, jungle camps also got massive changes. They all got abilities, basically. I encourage you to read the patch notes, because we can't go through all of them. We're already getting pretty close to time, I just realized. But any quick thoughts on Assassin's Blessing? Because that's, you know, what... It's Assassins. Who knows?
My giant ADC brain says better early and worse late.
Cool. Goodbye, me. Later. Cherry wants us to give it more magical power. No, we're not making Guardian Jungles better, Cherry. And that's all I'm saying about that.
Please.
Warlock Staff. Increased base power from 65 to 85. Decreased base power per stack from 1 to 0.8. That means the total power is increased by 5. You just get 20 more of it up front. This item is sleeper really good. And I think we'll finally start being bought after this.
I think with this and the next Book of Thoth change, I feel like the double saying Baba Yaga build just got way better.
Oh, Baba's going to be so nuts, dude. Decreased cost on Book of Thoth from 2650 to 2500. That's what Barra was talking about. Okay, we actually, I think, do need to move on, because I want to talk about some hunter changes, like actual gods. But real quick, Nemean Lion change.
Trash item. Son of Gaia, really good. Mail of Renewal, way better. Ring of Hecate, one of the best items in the game, in my opinion. Magical ADCs, in my opinion, will come back really strong.
Oh.
Probably some Hunter mid action. Look out for SSG. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I'll let you take back over. You know, I just went over.
Wow, that was some good hosting by you, Barra. That was solid work.
I hosted an assault tournament, by the way, so I got practice.
Oh man, I'm sure that is. I have to go back and watch that. You're so lucky that I couldn't play. Throw another one so I can play, or else you're a coward. That's all there is to it. Zoomed out, Ratatosker changes. General feels.
I think the tank acorns are way better than the aggressive acorns, but the aggressive acorns are still really good. So I think across the board, Rat's insane. Will be prioritized heavily going into the next SPL split unless it gets nerfed.
I wish I would have clipped Scream's reaction when he was reading patch notes. He was like, oh my god, they made the headbutt build even better. That's what he calls the rat one. He called it the headbutt because of the crit acorn, which should be fun. Okay, Apollo. I'm going to just try and go over some of the big changes here for gods and hunters in particular. Apollo increased physical protections on Serenade from 10 to 30 to 15 to 35, so just 5 at each rank. And adjusted mes duration was 1.1 to 2.3. Now it's 1.5 to 2.3, so it's better at lower ranks. And increased the scaling on his ultimate from 30% to 40%. That's overall 120 to 160 if you hit all the ticks. Will this god finally be playable again? I don't know.
I think Apollo is right outside of the playable realm. Last split, I would play him consistently in scrims, and he was just right there of just like not being good enough because he's just so easily gankable by the current junglers, and the other hunters just do more in teamfights, in my opinion, because he's an auto-attack based god with an ultimate that takes forever to get off in teamfights.
Yeah.
And the ultimate's also really awkward to use in a teamfight, whereas Chernobyl Gold, you can just go up, go down, reset your cooldowns. Apollo, you're just looking for that perfect ult, and then you land on a frontliner, doesn't feel good. But maybe with the new builds, he might be really good because the build or the ult will actually do damage to frontliners now.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, having a lot more percent pen early on. 160% scaling is nuts, by the way.
It's a Hebo ult, basically.
You're gonna get one shot by that thing as a backliner, and I'm not looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Baba Yaga got a buff. This god's nuts. She was nuts before. People are dumb. For thinking she's bad. Chiron increased the damage on his one, went from 80 to 300 to 100 to 300. So 20 at level one is a big deal. And increased scaling on his two by 10% from 70 to 80%. I think Chiron was also kind of sleeper. I think he's going to be good
His dash just sucks. The steroid on his dash just sucks. And he's a really hard god to utilize effectively to his, I'll say, maximum ceiling in a team fight.
Yeah.
I think his one needs to be burfed.
Okay.
Buffed at the top end, or burfed, as I am very intelligent. And the Masterful Shot feels really good as you're ulting through a team fight late game, because it's an auto aim ability. You're just going to hit everyone with it. I think he's better in the slots he was playable before, but I don't think he's like,
yeah,
God tier or anything.
Play him in mid. That's where he's better in mid. Okay. I think he's nuts in mid. Okay. Play him there. Cupid, minions take an additional 50% from the heart bomb explosion and from the initial hit. Does this change Cupid significantly?
Yeah, fortunately for me, I landed against Cupid and I was like, dear God, he just one shot my melees. And
that seems good.
It's actually really cool to play against, because you're like, oh, cool, like Cupid can clear waves now. But probably in a competitive setting in SBL, I'll be saying, like, we should not let this god open.
Wow, that good, huh?
I think Cupid's kind of the same as Chiron, where when he's really good, he is insane.
Yeah.
But the other, like, base hunters are just better if you're top picking them, obviously. Like, it's just easier. You're not going to top three your Cupid unless you're playing towards a certain style, basically.
Sure.
But he is just better.
Medusa got insane buffs. Her one now has four charges at all ranks. Her two increased the scaling from 70% to 80% and increased the range from 40 to 45. And the lacerate root duration, her dash, went from 0.5 seconds to 1 second. Bera, you and I had once talked about how we could make Medusa better, and you told me to make her dash smaller. I don't think that would have got over super well with the community. How do you think that these changes affected her instead?
I think you might be able to dash, like, in the situations where you can't dash past someone, you might be able to dash and then walk around them because the route is so long now. I think the acid spray feels way better, because that ability before in team fights felt so bad. It was like using an Apollo one and you're just hitting for like 150. The Viper Shot buff is insane. I think that is so good. And if people aren't thinking that's going to trade early or change early boxing, they're insane.
Dude, like that ability is just nuts.
Yeah.
Remember how nuts this god was on release? I don't remember exactly what the range was on acid spray, but it was like 55, I want to say, or something like that. It was just
across
insane.
The lane.
Yeah, across the whole lane. It was impossible to miss. Okay, Neith. She got a couple buffs. Backflip, the animation and travel time of this ability has been sped up by 25%. Broken Weave, that's the passive. All enemies now see Neith's base skin weave models, even if Neith has a skin equipped. God bless. And then here's the spicy one. Unravel. So decrease the attack speed buff from 30%, or debuff, from 30% to 18, scaling up to 30%, because instead of just debuffing their auto attack speed, it now steals that attack speed from enemy gods only. So you get, it's a double swing. If you decrease them by 30%, you get 30%, which is crazy. Adjust the debuff duration from 2 to 6 seconds to 4 seconds at all ranks, and hitting multiple gods will debuff all of them, but you only get one of those stacks for yourself. This has to make this god viable, right? Like, it has to.
That backflip is so fast.
Yep.
She feels so good. And the unravel for boxing, I think there's some situations where you might look to max that early.
Sure.
And play around your steroid and forcing them to like move to a certain area of the lane and just use it for basically zoning. I think she's really good. I don't know if she's a top pick, top ban, like something you can just top three every game, but I think she is very, very, very good.
Man, it's flexible. I think you can still play it in mid lane. The power pen build that people were going on Uller, I think, was really good on her. Yeah, I don't know. I think Neith is going to be really good. The hunter meta just got shifted so much between items and all of the bad hunters, pretty much, like Chiron, Medusa, Neith, at least bad at a top level. Apollo all get buffs. It's got to be an exciting time to play at ADC, man, because it's like so much new stuff to play and different builds as well.
I'll finally get to build something else. It's been 7.5 years.
Of building Xe?
Of building Xe.
Yep.
And I mean, we've had like little metas. We got the golden bow. That was a good time. Smite. Yeah.
We were talking about this actually. Has there ever been a meta where Xe was not built? And I could only think of one off the top of my head, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but I'm pretty sure it was when Xe had just been made into a tier 3 item instead of a tier 2, and its stats were really nuts, and you would go Ikaval and Xe instead of building Xe. That's the only meta where I can think Xe was not played.
And I think Titans was like insane then, right? So Titans would just sub that slot. Also, the ability-based hunters, if you're going the like penetration build that I went with, like Windyman and Atalantis and Failnut, I think you can basically go that on most hunters. And you have crit, you have cooldown, you have penetration. So everything, like literally every part of your kit's going to do a lot of damage.
That seems
good. I think for Neith, it'll just be a cute build. And I don't know. There's just so many different ways you can take hunter builds right now. And the meta, I'm pretty sure Jing will be pushed out unless she's still really good in certain slots.
Bear, I heard you were a bit offended that Mike put you as the iconic Jing main.
That doesn't even start.
Oh, no.
Like,
we don't have time for this, Bear. Come on now.
I need like a few therapy sessions.
Maybe we, like, you know, that would be a fun podcast episode to have us do the iconic gods player combos for each god, like Mike did. I think we could do that.
I would not give PBM anything.
Really? Yeah. I would give PBM. I think Mike's up there for Athena. When I think of Athena players, I think of Mike. And when I think of Cerberus players, I think of Mike and Artie.
Yeah, I never think of Mike.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry, man. I don't know. Okay, maybe we don't do that episode. Who knows? All right, chat. We do have to start wrapping it up, but I thought of a topic, even though you guys were all saying things. I didn't really read all of them and decided instead on something that I was thinking about in the back of my head. So apologies for that. I'm taking a road trip tomorrow. I'm driving back home, going to Pittsburgh for a little bit, which does potentially affect next podcast episode. We might be taking another week off while I'm away. And then coming back and doing some downtime content. But Bera, what are some of your big road trip like tips? What do you like to do? How do you keep yourself entertained during a road trip?
There was one time I came back from Orlando and I was hungover. And so you open up all the windows and turn your music up all the way and pray the time away.
That's the worst advice I've ever heard in my whole life. That sounds horrible. What are you talking about? Why would you ever drive on the highway with your windows all down? That sounds awful.
It was when I was coming back from I had to move into my apartment the next day, and we had just like had a lot of fun the previous night, and I had to be there that morning, and it was an 8-hour drive, and that's my life, you know?
Wow. Sounds like you made some bad decisions leading up to that point.
I did.
Yeah, you sure did. For me, what I'm going to be doing, because my advice is going to be far better than Vera's here,
we make
the drive to Pittsburgh at least once a year, most of the times twice. Number one, find some good podcasts, like the Backliners or anything else on the Prediction Esports Network. But I listen to a bunch of podcasts. I've been stockpiling some to listen to, so that'll be good. I in the lead up to driving, I in particular do not listen to any new music like that any of my favorite bands have put out, and then I save it for the drive. That's a good call. Definitely sleep if it's not your turn to drive. Here's another thing. I try not to worry too much about getting there at a certain time. Like, if I'm trying to race the clock, it just feels so much worse. It feels like it goes so much longer. If I just accept that, like, my day is over and this is just how I'm spending my day, it's not quite as bad. You know, it feels like it goes a little bit faster that way.
It goes way faster if you open your windows.
It literally does go slower because that increases your resistance and makes you have to use more gas to go faster. That's the problem. Steeler 1107 asks in the chat if I'm getting some Permanis when I come. Of course I am, Steeler. Of course I'm going to be getting Permanis for takeout, because you shouldn't be eating indoor restaurants right now during a pandemic.
What is that?
Permanis? Oh, Barra. Give it a quick Google. It's a famous Pittsburgh sandwich place where the whole shtick is that everything's on the sandwich. It comes with fries on it and coleslaw, and it is disgusting and delicious all at once. I love it. Deep into my core, I crave this heinous concoction on a regular basis. It's fantastic.
French fry on a sandwich?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's thing is that we put French fries on like everything. Like, if you order a salad in a lot of places in Pittsburgh, there'll be French fries on it. It's like a thing.
Why?
We love it. I don't know.
That's this just looks like a turkey sandwich with French fries and lettuce and a tomato.
No lettuce. That's coleslaw. That's a certain type of coleslaw. French fries, tomato, and a thin slice of provolone cheese on thick Italian bread. That's what Permanis is all about.
Your mouth is literally watering.
Man, I can't wait. It's going to be so good. Of course, I'm going to be grabbing some sheets on the way up as well. I can't wait to get back there. It's going to be awesome. It's the best. It's the best. We love it. Okay, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Backliners. Again, make sure you're following us at us on our Spotify and Apple Podcast links. You can find those in the chat, on our tweets, on Reddit, all that kind of stuff. Make sure you're also following all the other prediction esports stuff. They have some really great podcasts on a lot of different esports, so make sure you check those out. I'll be tweeting out about what we're going to do next week, but I think for now, we are going to have to take another week off because I'm traveling, but then we'll be back. And I think during the downtime before SPL, something along the lines of iconic player god combos and things like that will probably be the direction we take it, because that sounds fun. Except if Barra's going to decide not to participate and just be a jerk about it. Barra will be the Jing main, and I won't apologize for that.
Okay? Thank you.
You'll also likely be Sol, so at least you'll have that going for you. Thanks everyone for watching. We'll catch you next time here on the Backliners.
Bye.